Morning, brethren. This is Brother Mike. I'm preaching to you from the pastorium this morning. I hope you're doing well, and hope you can listen to a few minutes to the sermon. I've been over it. I didn't time it. I think it's probably 15 or 20 minutes. I don't think it's as long as usual. I think I can say what I need to say, and maybe God has blessed me to give you some thoughts that will help you and will honor and glorify Him. I want to read a few verses from Luke chapter 15. I hope you will get your Bible out and read along as I read from Luke chapter 15. This is some verses from what's often called the parable of the prodigal son. I've heard it also called the lost son. He was lost, but then he was found. It has a wonderful ending, and it's a good lesson for us. I want to read Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through the first part of verse 20. These will be familiar to you. Listen to this. And he went, verse 17. And he came to himself, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. We'll stop there. This is a teaching of Jesus as recorded in Luke chapter 15. Father, bless us today to hear you speak to us. Come by your Holy Spirit and teach us. Guide us into all truth. May we grow, Father, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. May our lives honor and glorify you. Get honor and glory, we pray, from what we say and do always. Forgive, please, our sins. Open your word now to us, we beg, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you, brethren, that on Thursday morning of this week, just 3 days ago, I woke worried about current events. The coronavirus threat was growing. It was increasing daily. And the stock market was decreasing daily. It was spiraling down. Nothing that man apparently could do could stop either one, despite man's best efforts. I began to pray about the situation. That's what I needed to do. I needed to pray. I was still in bed. I was lying there just starting to pray. I was worried, so I went to God in prayer. As I recall, the first words I spoke to God were these: "Lord, please turn the stock market around." What a prayer. After all, I have a retirement plan that I'm dependent on in so many ways. That plan depends upon the U.S. economy. I've gotten used to getting that check every month, brethren, just like clockwork, directly into my bank account. I count on it. Actually, I find that I take a little joy in it. In fact, sometimes I revel in it. The words, "Lord, please turn the stock market around," had just exited my thoughts because I was praying silently when, boom, words came to me directly from God instantly, almost as quickly as the answer came to Abraham's servant. Do you remember that occasion Abraham sent his trusted servant to find a wife for Isaac? And the servant arrived in the area where Abraham sent him, and he said, "Lord, help me here. I'm going to ask a young woman for a drink of water, and the one that says, I'll give you a drink of water and I'll water your camels also, let that be the one that you've chosen to be the wife of Isaac. And the Word of God tells us in Genesis, before he was done speaking, here comes a young, beautiful young maiden. It was Rebekah. And she passed the test. And that's how quickly God answers prayer, brethren, before he was done speaking. In my case, after I was done thinking, but instantly, as soon as I had said to God, Lord, please turn the stock market around, here are the words that came to me, and I mean in an instant. No, you turn around. That was the response to my prayer, brethren. No, you turn around. End of prayer, end of conversation between me and God. I just lay there thinking about what God had said to me and thinking about the condition of my mind and my thoughts and my life. That was a short prayer and a very direct answer. I want to talk to you, brethren, about turning around. We read in the scriptures this morning, it says this young man came to himself. And after he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. I was worried about COVID-19, about the falling stock market. Would I get sick? Would my loved ones get the virus? Would the fear of virus destroy the United States economy? Would things I hold dear be lost? Would my comfortable way of life be lost? If so, what would I do? Would change come? How would I deal with it? All of those questions and fears prompted me to pray, Lord, turn the stock market around. Isn't that silly? Instantly, my prayer was answered. Not in the sense of my petition being granted, but it was more of a response. No, you turn around. I read you the story of a young man as told by Jesus. This man was the younger of two sons. He turned around. Let's talk about what led up to his turning around and the joy, brethren, that he experienced after he turned around. Let's go back to the scripture now, brethren, in Luke chapter 15 and go to verse 11. The Word of God says, Jesus said, he said, that's Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons. This young man was the son of a father. The father was a wealthy man. Verse 12 says, and the younger of the two sons said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father gave him the portion of his goods. He divided the goods among his sons. Verse 13 says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Didn't take him long, did it? He had his wealth now, and he was ready to get away from home. He's ready to go. Not many days after that, he took off, and he journeyed into a far country. And there, he wasted his substance. He wasted his inheritance. He wasted his wealth with riotous living. He lived it up. Any pleasure that money could buy, he took it. And he spent it all up. I would suggest to you he had considerable wealth when he arrived. But there's a limit to it. He spent it all. Used it all up in riotous living. What did he do? What specifically was the riotous living? Well, later on in the story, his brother reminds his daddy he spent it on harlots. That was one of the things, prostitutes, probably alcohol, whatever pleasures that money could buy, the natural pleasures, he probably bought it and indulged himself. But there came an end, verse 14, and when he had spent all, it's all gone now, all his wealth is gone, and he's in this far country, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. Conditions turned. There was suffering in the world. There were shortages of things, and he began to be in want. He became destitute. He was desperate for a job. No friends, no family, no more partying, no more money. And he gets a job, verse 15. He joins himself to a citizen of that country, and the man sent him into the fields to feed swine. I've heard it said this young man was a Jewish boy, and he got a job feeding hogs. That ought to tell you something. We around here, I grew up feeding hogs and thought nothing of it. But to formerly a wealthy young Jewish man, he was doing something that didn't have a lot of pleasure in. Not only was he doing something he didn't enjoy, verse 16 says he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did. He was hungry. He not only did he not have any income, and his wealth is gone, but he's hungry. He's hungry. I've heard of people in the Depression. They said, we were poor, but we didn't know it. We had a home, and we had food to eat. This young man was in a worse state than that. And the last phrase of verse 16 says, and no man gave unto him. Nobody would help him out. Brethren, have you experienced that the world is not a very kind place to be in? If you don't have wealth, if you don't have fame, if you don't have power, you don't have friends, generally, out there in the world. As long as you've got fame, wealth, power, one or some or all of those, you have friends, brethren. And I'll put that in quotes, quote unquote, friends. But when that's gone, brethren, there's no one around to help you. They don't remember you. They don't care about you out there in the world. And that's the condition of this young man. Now, verse 17, brethren, this is good. And when he came to himself, there's a ray of hope there, isn't there? There's a gleam of light in the darkness, a ray of light in the darkness. He comes to himself. I love that expression. I love to read that part of this story. And when he came to himself, this is verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He thinks about home, brethren. He thinks about what it's like there, where he's come from. And his next thought, brethren, is this, verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. When I read that, often I think of that wonderful hymn we sing. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. I think about that hymn as I read that verse 18 often. I will arise and go to my father. I'm going home. Isn't that a good expression? I'm going home. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's the right attitude there, brethren, isn't it? I've sinned. I have messed up. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 19. Well, he's right about that. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20. And he arose. He said, I will arise, verse 18, verse 20, and he arose. He packed what few things he had, and he headed home, brethren, and came to his father. What's this, brethren? Verse 20. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father, brethren, was looking for that son to return. He was waiting on it. Very wise father, very loving father, wasn't he? He ran to the young man. He had compassion on him, fell on his neck and kissed him. welcomed him back home. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He made the confession just like he had planned to in his mind. No doubt as he traveled that long, great distance, he went over what he was going to say to the father. Had it just right. Made the confession. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Cover him, servants. Put the robe around him. Put the ring on his finger, that signet ring that indicates he's part of this family. Put shoes on his feet. I don't want him barefooted. His feet need protecting. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, brethren, this week when I was thinking about fretting over the condition of the economy and the condition of our country and the things that we face right now, and I began to pray to God for those material things that I wanted to be made right. And God said, you need to worry about the condition your heart is in rather than the condition of your bank account. You need to turn yourself around rather than asking me to turn the economy around. And I got that lesson, brethren. I want to share it with you today. I want you to think about that. I pray the Spirit of God will speak to you as God spoke to me. Just a few comments now, brethren, on those verses. Jesus gives this teaching about this young man. And it's a spiritual lesson. And I want to make just some spiritual comments now, just in closing. Go back to verse 12, verse 11. A man had two sons. Brethren, you're the son of the Heavenly Father. You're a child of the Heavenly Father. You belong to Him. The young son said, give me the portion that belongs to me. And God gives us, brethren, of His wealth. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills, and He shares good things with us. The question is, how are we using those things? Are we rich back toward God? Are we giving to our neighbors and those in need? Are we glorifying God in what we do? Or are we wasting it with riotous living? Have you traveled into a far country, brethren, and there wasted your substance? The world is a long way from God, brethren. It's a few short steps out into the world, but it's a long way from the Father's house. Famines come. The famine came in the life of this young man. Famines come in our lives. Brethren, we need to be prepared for those. This young man went and was out there in the world, and he was suffering. And we find, brethren, when we spend our time in the world, brethren, it may seem pleasant. Sin is pleasant, after all. If it weren't, it wouldn't be a temptation. But the price of it is far outweighs the short time of pleasure that it gives. There's a hunger there, brethren, that we have, God's people have, that the world cannot feel. I hope we come to ourselves if we're out in the world. I came to myself three mornings ago as I was praying for natural things. God showed me. He brought me to my senses. And I said, I will arise and go to my Father. Brethren, we can always arise and go to Jesus. We have the promise if we confess our sins, like this young man did to his father, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our Father waits for that, brethren. The Father saw in the parable, the Father saw the Son a long way off. God sees you, brethren, from the eternal heaven. He sees you. And He looks for your repentance. He looks for my repentance. He has compassion on us. As a father pitieth his children, so God pities us, and he loves us, brethren. Yes, and these young men had sinned. You and I have sinned, and we're not worthy. We're not worthy to be children of God. But, brethren, we've been made worthy. You and I are made to be worthy, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but through the imputed righteousness of Christ Jesus, our great high priest. In the account Jesus gave, he says, the Father says, bring the robe and cover him with it. Put it around him. Brethren, you and I are made righteous by the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's our royal apparel, brethren. The book of Revelation says we've been made kings and priests. We're royalty, brethren, because we've been made to be royalty. We have that robe of covering of the blood of Jesus on us. We have the ring on our finger, the signet ring, that coat of arms, if you will, of our family, the family of God, that signifies we're in the family of God. We have the shoes of protection on our feet. We have the protection of our Father on us. And lastly, brethren, I want to tell you there are joys in the house of God, in the family of God. This young man celebrated, no doubt. He feasted. He fared sumptuously out there in the world, but there was an end to that. And there was no lasting joy in it. In the parable Jesus gives, the Father says, bring the fatted calf and kill it and let's eat. There's joy, brethren. There's joy like no other in God's house. This young man went, brethren, from wanting to eat the hog feed. He went from hog feed to steak, brethren. He came from the world, out of the world, and into the Father's house. That's a long way, brethren. Spiritually, that's a long way when he came to himself. I hope, brethren, that you and I will arise and go to Jesus. I hope we'll go to the Father's house and we'll stay in it and enjoy the pleasures and the blessings of the Father's house. God taught me this week that I needed to turn around. And if that's the case, brethren, in your life, I hope you will. I hope you'll set your affections on things above and not the things of this world. I want to close by saying I surely do miss you. I wish we were all together this morning in God's house. But there's a psalm that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord or the house of God. I hope it won't be long before we can say that to one another. But we can worship in our homes and with our families. That's all right. That's what we can do now. That's what we need to do. I hope you'll spend some time this morning meditating on the Word of God. I hope you'll read it. I hope you'll worship with your family. Sing some hymns. Pray together. And read the Word of God together. And have a good time in worship. I miss you. And I hope to see you soon. Thank you for listening. And hopefully I'll have another message, the Lord willing, this evening on the book of Hebrews we've been studying. Love to you all and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.